Hi everyone, welcome to episode 3 of Infinity Pods. This is basically my third episode doing this, and a really good response and feedback from my first two episodes. This one is going to be a little bit longer than the first two combined. Even it might be clocking in at an hour here, but I really wanted to look into the other side of what I want to discuss for this podcast. So we've covered my top 10 films. Hopefully you've listened to that and really appreciate you listening to that. But really, now we're going to look into gaming. Gaming is a huge part of my life. I've been gaming ever since I can remember. Really, I think I picked up a video game, a controller when I was around 6-7 years old. And never really looked back. We didn't have a lot of money as a family, so we were you know, strict against what we could play, and what console we played that on. But as time grew on, obviously we got more better off. My parents worked their absolute asses off, bless them, and we were able to get better consoles. And obviously when I first started working, I finally started being able to pay for my own games, my own consoles, which has led me to have the vast collection and the vast, you know, amount of games I've been playing. So really, what I want to do first is look at what gaming means to me as an individual. Most people see it as a pastime, a hobby. Other people might see it as a waste of time. You know, you're sitting in front of a screen, not really challenging yourself, not doing anything to benefit yourself. With the modern era, I mean, I don't think that statement really stands anymore. You look at certain people, certain groups of people, companies even, and we've now got things like esports. You've got Twitch, you've got people on there making millions upon millions of pounds/dollars. it's just it's mind-blowing, it really is. And I don't think that old, the people that think that, it's a really old-fashioned way of thinking. I think the dynamic has now shifted, and it is now more accepted. It's generally, it used to be you weren't the cool kid. If you gamed, you were considered a bit of a geek, a bit of an outcast. Nowadays, if you're not gaming, it's most of the time it's asked, why aren't you gaming? What are you playing? I mean, there is a console for everybody. Nowadays, you can pick anything up from the PS5, which I know, obviously with that, obviously, you know, the release of that, which, you know, I was lucky enough to get myself one on release, but a lot of people, obviously, I know, don't. But you've got the PS5, Nintendo Switch, you've got the Xbox. I actually don't know what's going on the Xbox. They've got these Series X and Series S, and can't they just put a number beside it? I mean, 1, 2, and 3 is just like, Can we keep that normal, please? But yeah, no, everything for anyone at the moment. But yeah, I mean, my history with it really started when my parents, our first console was the Sega Mega Drive. I can really remember, you know, passing time on that thing, and I you know what, it's really funny because I can never actually remember completing anything on the thing, because I mean, I remember all the games we had. We had Jurassic Park, we had Sonic 1, 2, and Sonic and Knuckles. We had the Power Rangers game. I mean, yeah, this is proper 90s gaming fuel right here. But I don't think I ever completed any of them. I revisited the Mega Drive about 5 or 6 years ago, because my parents still had it, and I completed most of them. Pinocchio was another one. If anyone had Pinocchio on Mega Drive, that was actually a really good port. Really good game, considering with the film and how scary that film is. But yeah, different podcast for another day. That Pinocchio is terrifying. But yeah, Sega Mega Drive was really my first intro into the gaming world. Now, straight after Sega Mega Drive, my dad, I remember bringing home a PlayStation 1 from work, and we were completely mind blown. I mean, we had games like Crash Bandicoot. We had the demo discs. Demo 1, obviously, playing all the games on that. And I think that's where my love for gaming really took off. And especially keeping with a certain brand, a certain console, it's always been PlayStation for me. I mean, The PS3 was their down point, their down low for me over the past few, you know, past 2 decades. But no, I've stuck with PlayStation ever since. I've played on different consoles, but always stuck with Sony. The PlayStation 1, again, great, great console. I mean, the infamous toilet, grey toilet seat. But games like Crash Bandicoot, Crash Team Racing, Spyro, even the soundtrack for Spyro, especially the first Spyro, is insane. I mean, I highly recommend giving it an actual proper listen. And I loved that on the Reignited trilogy that they did, that Toys for Bob did, it was really nice to see you could actually have the option to have the old soundtrack there, which I know they did quite a few new scores for the levels, but I immediately switched on the old score because that game's soundtrack is just, it's another level. I don't think actually, I'm going to go out there and say it's one of the best soundtracks for a game out there, if not the best soundtrack. A lot of people are disagreeing with that because you've got things like Silent Hill, Final Fantasy, all those sorts of soundtracks, but nah, Spyro is where it's at. But yeah, moving on from PlayStation, I mean, we was able to play quite a few games just because obviously my dad he knew somebody at work at the time that was able to get, I think it was chipped, I think that was the terminology how PlayStation was, chipped, as we call it, which means we were able to play pirate copies of certain games. So we had quite a vast collection at one point. I mean, I remember having this silver case that we used to open up every Friday because our gaming time was limited for a good few years, as it should be. You know, I remember me and my brother, you know, picking out which game we wanted on a Friday after school, you know, playing that game and then being able to play it all weekend if we wanted to. Middle of summer was out of the question. I mean, we were outside. I mean, it's not like kids nowadays where you hardly see any kids outside now. They're always inside now. If we could be outside, we'd be outside. But if it was raining, if it wasn't nice, you know, we'd always be in our games. But yeah, the PlayStation really had some little gems. I mean, another few little mentions I would have to say would be, there's a game called Raystorm, a top-down shooter. I don't know if anybody remembers that. I actually tried to find a copy of Raystorm a few months ago, and I was shocked to see it's something like £45, which I think it's one of the highest priced PS1 games I've seen outside the Crash Bandicoot trilogy, because those games are pretty expensive. But Raystorm, wow, that was, yeah, because I was thinking, oh yeah, I want to play that again. But no, Raystorm's one. Star Wars Jedi Power Battles, I don't know if anybody remembers that one. That was the Star Wars game for me for a good few years. I don't think until Battlefront 1, or the first Battlefront, came out for the PS2 by Pandemic Studios, actually, you know, was the best Star Wars game out there. Jedi Power Battles was insane. And considering, you know, the amount of different levels and things you could do on it, it was really off the cuff and something you hadn't seen before. But just being able to, you know, wield a lightsaber in that was amazing. And just, it really fueled your childhood dreams, really, of being a Jedi Knight. But Jedi Power Battles, love that. Took me ages to complete that, actually. But the other one I would have to mention is a game called Speed Freaks. Now, I don't see this game actually mentioned a lot, especially, I mean, I've watched quite a few YouTube videos in my time, and it seems to be a game not a lot, I don't know if I'm looking in the wrong place, it doesn't seem to be a game a lot of people pick up on. It is a general kart racer, but there was something about it that just, it was the cartoon nature of it. It was the limbless characters. It gave it its own little thing. There was never a sequel to it, not that I recall or have seen. And it is really a capsule of time for kart racers. Because obviously you've got around the time you've got Crash Team Racing, which by the way is the best kart racer ever made. Sod you, Mario. Mario's overrated. We'll get to that soon, but yeah, nah. Crash Team Racing is where it is at for kart racing. But yeah, no, I mean, Speed Freaks, great little game. And there was another game, I can't actually find any details of it online. I don't know if any of you guys, you know, if you can, please message me through my socials, but I really need to find a game. It was to do with boat racing, with speedboats, and I can't for the life of me remember the game, and I can't find a bit of information about it anywhere. Again, I don't know if I'm looking in the wrong place, or I've seen it and I'm thinking, nah, that's not what it was called. But it was a speedboat racing game. Now, if you guys can help me out with that, that'd be great because I'd love to know. Because that was another one where I played quite a lot of it. I think I actually only had the demo of it, but the amount of times I played that demo, insane. But yeah, that was my that's basically my PS1 experience. And then obviously come Christmas 2001, 2000, it might actually be 2002, I think. I've still got the picture of some of it somewhere. There's me and my brother unwrapping the PlayStation 2. The I mean, talk about God mode for consoles, my goodness. I don't think anything has ever come close to how good the PlayStation 2 is or was, the amount of units that thing. So I think it's, what is it, over 200 million units sold, I think. I mean, you think you I mean everyone thought the Nintendo Wii was popular, but PS2, I mean everyone had that. I mean, it did help that it had a built-in DVD drive. Again, we're around the time when DVDs really, they came into their own and disc-based media came into its own. But yeah, honestly, PlayStation 2, I mean, there are countless games for me to talk to you about on that. Obviously, I don't want to bore you with it because I could go, we could be here all day going through all. But a couple of little honourable mentions I do want to jump in on there. I mean, let's just pick out a few here. So, let's go with Burnout 3. You know, love a good Burnout game. I mean, the fact that Criterion haven't, done a new Burnout game in what I think it's what 10, 12 years now. It's a disservice. It really is. I mean, you should be chucked in prison for something like that. It's awful the fact that we haven't had a next gen Burnout game yet, but. Fingers crossed, we can always live in hope. But Burnout 3 Takedown, wow. The soundtrack for that, wow. I mean, that was rivaling Tony Hawk's games in terms of actual music on your games. I mean, Tony Hawk's Underground as well, another mention there. Great game. The fact that you could get off your board. I mean, I remember people going insane, the fact that, oh my God, you can get off your skateboard, to run around and get to places you couldn't get to before and do tricks from there. But I think one of the biggest games for me, PlayStation, and one of the big multiplayer games for me is it's talked about here and there, but I think there should be a lot more love for TimeSplitters 2. Now I played all the TimeSplitters 1, 2, and 3, or Future Perfect, if you want to be picky about it. But TimeSplitters 2 on the PS2, I mean, I sunk in so many hours on that game, and. Again, it's same with Burnout. The fact that they haven't, I mean, there's been rumors here and there that there's been a remake or a remaster or that they're doing a TimeSplitters 4. Not really seen the light of day. I mean, again, I mean, with a PS5 out now and we've got this next new generation, it would be insane to see a new TimeSplitters game. It would be absolutely brilliant. Or even better, I would be jumping on it if we could get a TimeSplitters remaster. With all three of them in a set, like they've done with the past, like they've done with the Metal Gear Solid collection, like they've done with Sly Cooper, Crash Bandicoot, Spyro. We've got all these franchises getting, reignited trilogies or remasters. I mean, the fact that I never played Medieval and that got a remake, or a remaster, and it would be nice to see something like that, box together three games. Obviously, trophy support. I mean, I love a good trophy hunt on there. That'd be insane. And obviously, local co-op. It is making a comeback at the moment, but local co-op, I do believe, has gone the way of the Western, really. I mean, with the rise of the internet over the past, well, I say past. I mean, it's been like this for a good few years now. But the internet has a lot to answer for in terms of we've been able to connect with people all over the world. But it has cut off. That socializing at the moment. And now I know obviously local co-op at the moment, it's not the best thing with the pandemic and everything. You can't do it unless you live with that person. But yeah, some games deserve it and some games have thrived. And I believe TimeSplitters 2 was me and my brother, it was I think it was a snowy level. There's a little tower in the middle and it was we set it to rocket launchers only and let the chaos ensue basically. That's how it was. But yeah, PlayStation 2 again. That took me through, quite a good chunk of, my secondary school years. Definitely an escape route because I hated secondary school. I really did. Didn't feel like I fit in anywhere. I showed a lot of a lot of people can sympathize with that. High school, secondary school is a tough time. It's where you're not really finding yourself. You've got to fit into a group, and if you don't fit into a group, you're kind of screwed, basically. And I was one of those people. I just didn't fit into a group. But gaming really, really helped me with that. It was a place where I could escape, and it was my own little world that I could just enjoy. So at the moment, we've gone through, you know, PS1, PS2, but at the moment, we've still got the PS3, PS4, PS5 to go through, and a couple of little consoles here and there that I really want to discuss with you guys. So let's get on with it. Let's get on with PlayStation 3. So this console really helped me through a lot. This console was with me through some really, really difficult times. I mean, I didn't get the PlayStation 3 till about, I think it was, what was it, 2008, I think I got it. And this was, I had to actually trade in my Nintendo Wii to get one, which I didn't really want to do, because having the Nintendo Wii, it was kind of in that in-between bit where, you know, I kind of had one just because everyone else had one. I mean, I had a GameCube beforehand, very briefly. It's why I haven't really mentioned it. But it's just the concept of Nintendo for me, and, you know, all their franchises. You've got some good little games here and there, but as a whole, I really don't. Nintendo have been pushing out the same game for the past 20 to 30 years, in my opinion. There's really not been any innovation there in terms of gameplay. I could be totally wrong with that, but that's my opinion. I don't see enough help there with innovating the industry. Now, going on the flip side of that, I think gaming-wise, no innovation. However, actually being able to game on a console and the peripherals for that they've knocked out the park. I think they're up there. Obviously, I think they're a bit behind with obviously the HD, and by God, they need to sort out their online system, because it is a joke. I mean, I'm playing Animal Crossing on my Switch Lite that I got for Christmas with my fiance, and just getting all that connected up and friend codes and waiting for loading screens. I'm just like, this is like what it was like back on the early PS3 days. You know, not even that. Even, you know, just it feels like a fossil age come and gone. And I really, really hope they can look into that and sort that out. But enough of Nintendo. I don't like to talk much about Nintendo, to be honest. You know, they are their own thing, and I think they always will be their own thing. But going back to the PlayStation 3 now, PlayStation 3 had some more. By goodness, did the PlayStation 3 have some absolute colossal, colossal games for it. I mean, I think the first game I ever bought and played for my PlayStation 3, which is still, I think I've played it two or three times now, gone, and I mean, I've 100%ed it as well, and I mean, I've 100% everything. If you've played the game, you'll know what I mean by how much it means to actually 100% a big game like this, and that's Burnout Paradise. I mean, there is no other car game that's come close to how good that game is. People always say, oh yeah, Burnout 3 is the best. It's not. Burnout Paradise is the best. It was the first game that I got a platinum trophy on. It's the first game that I bought DLC from or for. Very nervous. That was because my first job, and obviously I think I stayed up to like 3 a.m. playing Big Surf Island when they released it, and then obviously buying it again about, I think it was a year or two ago when they released the remaster for it, with all the packages in it. And I platinumed it all over again. I platinumed all 96 trophies. I did it in quite a record time, to be honest, just because the amount of time I've spent driving through Paradise City, again, what you can do there, and what I really think Criterion, again, what I've mentioned earlier, they need to pick up on that. I think people are yearning for something like that again. It's just silly fun. That really is what it is. It's kind of the equivalent to, if there is such a thing, bear with me, but the Transformers films. A lot of people don't like them, but to me, they are just silly popcorn films where I can turn my brain off for 3 hours and just like, yeah, that's Optimus beating the shit out of Megatron again. And I'm happy with that. Same with Burnout. I'm driving around. I know the roads. If I want to crash into something, I crash into something. And that's what I'm there for. You know, I'm there for that. That's what Burnout is for me. So yeah, Burnout Paradise, I mean, if you haven't played it, I mean, what are you doing? You know, there's enough. The remaster's out, and I think it's out on every system. You can get it on Xbox. You can get it on. I actually got it from a Switch Lite again over Christmas, so I'm replaying it again as we speak. I mean, play it. You're doing yourself a disservice if you're not playing it. Another great game there. I'd say again, it kind of disappeared this franchise, but Mercenaries 2. World in Flames. Now, if anyone has played the original Mercenaries on PlayStation 2, it was really a breath of fresh air, really, for open world, like destructible environments. I mean, I remember Mercenaries 2 where you could you get to a bunker and you could actually buy nuclear bombs for it, or big, I can't remember, you could buy big bombs for it, I know that. But just to have that sort of power at your disposal and be able to actually, you know, destroy buildings and everything. And you've got missions where it says, you know, you need to take down this block of buildings because there's terrorists in there. I mean, you know, we'll talk about links between that and actual terrorism later, but still, you know, what a little sandbox for people to play in. I mean, it is amazing what you can do in that game. And again, you haven't seen that since. You haven't seen a Mercenaries game for a very long time. I don't think we ever will see a Mercenaries game again. But that's another one I really enjoyed playing. And the fact that, you know, you could build up your money and, you know, you get your mansion and everything. And just everything about it. Just a really good, really good game. So moving on from that, we'll move on to one of the heavy hitters here. I think Batman Arkham Asylum really encapsulates a lot for me personally at what time this was released, how it was released, why it was such a big deal. I mean, the fact that you've got the Arkham system now, where we've got a few games copying now. I mean, we've got games, I mean, the newest Spider-Man, I say newest, it's 2 years old. Great game, but I mean, that I don't think that would be as good as it was if it weren't for Batman Arkham Asylum. It really changed the blueprint for superhero games. I mean, it's another one of these games that you've just got to experience. I mean, this came out at a time when I was in college. It was my second year, and I fell in love for the first time, and I fell hard. I mean, I spoke about first loves and everything with Perks on my last video, and you know, it came at a time when I was living on cloud nine. I mean, I met someone I couldn't believe I met. I couldn't believe she, you know, we were going out. And then I was going home and playing Batman, and just, yeah, it just, I know it might not sound much to the average girl, but to someone like me, it meant a lot. I felt on top of the world. I felt amazing, you know, and the fact that you could go home and I got to play Batman and go through Arkham Asylum and beat the shit out of the Joker again. Yeah, totally with it. Absolutely fantastic game. But PlayStation 3, I mean, there was a lot of good games on there. We could go through and like I did with PS2, but other than Batman Arkham Asylum, the only big release I can really put my finger on, and if Burnout Paradise wasn't a thing, this would be number one. But Batman Arkham City, that came at a time when I wasn't with my first, you know, that girl I've just spoken about. I was with somebody else. Because it just didn't work out, unfortunately. And I was with someone now who, this is 2011, where I was with somebody that, you know, it talk about an abusive relationship, and really knocked my confidence. And Batman Arkham City was just there again, just to fill in that void and talk about immersing yourself in a world once again. Just having Arkham Asylum now sprawled out into this massive map where you could go from point A to point B, swing around, glide around like Batman doesn't swing. That'd be interesting. But no, I think that's my favourite superhero game ever made, Batman Arkham City. I think the amount of times I have collected all of those Riddler trophies, I could genuinely, if you gave me Batman Arkham City now, I haven't played it in like a few years. I did play The Return to Arkham on PS4, but I don't need a guide. I could go to every Riddler trophy in that game and do it straight away and not look up, you know, what you have to do for it or anything. It's in there. It's embedded in my brain where those things are. I mean, getting towards the end of it, obviously moving to the PS4 here, but Batman Arkham Knight, I think there was just too many of those things. But I will go into a bit more detail of that when we speak about the PS4. But yeah, PS3, great console. Start of HD gaming, the start of Blu-rays. Obviously, the Xbox 360 came out. That was a big challenge for PlayStation, I think. Xbox 360, I mean, they really got their act together from the Xbox. I mean, if you've seen the original Xbox, that console is massive. That you chuck that out a window, that's killing somebody. Actually, it's a shame. Screw can throw out at Tiny Tim. But anyway, but, you know, the Xbox was a bit of a brick. A few bricks, actually. But they really knocked it out of the park with the Xbox 360. And the Xbox 360 was a console that, due to obviously the price of the PS3 at the time, my brother actually had an Xbox 360 and we played quite a few games on there, especially together. So, like, going through the campaigns of Gears of War and especially Halo 3 on legendary modes or god modes or whatever the hell they call them nowadays, that was just a fun experience. Just sit with my brother and actually go through a campaign together. I mean, Halo 3, the amount of times we used the sandbox, I think it was called sandbox anyway, the big open sand level in there. It might not be called that, it might be called something completely else, but we could edit it. And then again, a little running thing with me and my brother, we always like to use rocket launchers, but that was a case of, yeah, you're in there, you use rocket launchers, that's all you can use. So yeah, some great moments in there gaming with my brother there. I really, really enjoyed that with the Xbox 360. And I honestly think it pipped it. I mean, the only time I'm going to say a console beat out Sony is it would be the 360. I haven't really touched an Xbox console since then. So I don't know how, you know, I really didn't like the interface that much. I thought it was very clunky. I didn't like the idea of an avatar either. But no, yeah, it's something I haven't touched since, and I don't think I'll ever go back to, just because of what Sony have now brought out and what they did bring out. By God, this console, you know, it's one of those consoles where it's the most times I've bought this console. And it's also one of those consoles that sticks with you. And I think it's where I started getting good at games online. And obviously the only one I'm talking about is the PlayStation 4. The PlayStation 4, for me, I mean, we'll wait to see what the PS5 has to offer. I'm sure it's going to knock it out of the park in time. But the PlayStation 4, that has been with me. That's been with me through my last relationship. And most of that, actually, it's been with me when I've moved away from my family. It's been there when I've moved back from my family and when I've gone through one of the hardest times in my life ever. When you find out, you know, someone just doesn't love you that much or not enough, you know, it's tough. It was tough. But PlayStation 4, man, I can't praise it enough. You know, they built on it and built on it and built on it, Sony, and you know, you really got to commend them. I mean, they finally changed being able to change your PSN ID right at the end of the lifespan of the PS4. I'm calling it the end of the lifespan as I got the PS5, by the way. So I know, I think Japan have stopped making them, but I think they're still available. They're still getting made. But to me, when you got a new console, that the old console is dead, basically. I know that's quite brutal, but the PlayStation 4. I mean, let's look at some games here. I mean, it's really the console that for me took off on trophy hunting. I mean, I've amassed nearly, I think I'm on 7,500, I think, ish trophies, which to some people that's actually quite low, but as a casual gamer I quite pride myself on how many trophies I actually have, and I've got some banging trophies in there. I mean, from one of the best ones I think I've got is from Star Wars Battlefront. You know, there's one trophy in there where you've got to stomp on enemies 25 times with the AT-ST. People have realized how difficult that is, you know, to do, and I've done it. I didn't do it in conventional ways, let's put it that way. I think that's the only way you can do that trophy. But no, that's another video for another podcast for another day. Video even, actually, that's not a bad idea. just going through my trophies. But PlayStation 4. I think I'll focus mainly on the online gaming aspects here, just because I haven't really touched upon that previously in my previous consoles, because PlayStation 4 really took off for me with online gaming and gaming with my friends. So you've got the things like, I played a lot of FIFA in my time, but yeah, FIFA 15 is a highlight. You've got games like Rocket League, and yes, I did play Supersonic Acrobatic Rocket Power Battle Cars. God, that's a mouthful. Why and how anybody decided that was a good idea for a title of a game, I will never know. But that was available on PS3, actually. So if you're a fan of Rocket League, check out that game. That's where the bones of it started, Rocket League. You can see a few little, you know, a few little callbacks there to what Rocket League actually became. But Rocket League's a big one for me, and I've been playing that on and off for years now. I'm still nowhere not good as some people. I mean, you see some of the goals pulled off on that game by some players, and I'm just like, how do you do that? And I've tried to do that. I've tried to do it for years. I just can't do it. I ain't got the finger dexterity to do it, I don't think. I mean, playing on console, you're limited, yeah. But by God, people that can do it on console, I salute you. But yeah, Rocket League, great game. I mean, we can't really, I don't want to go over it too much, but you can't really comment about the online world with PlayStation 4 without mentioning Fortnite. It's got to have a brief mention here just because of the colossal impact it's had on the industry. Really bringing players from everywhere together. I know obviously Call of Duty, you've got the big online boys there for shooters, but the Battle Royale genre, That has taken it. I mean, you could argue it's PUBG that started it first, but Fortnite really took it into the mainstream, and they just seem to be getting strength to strength. It's funny, actually, I actually played Fortnite for about 2 years, and I've just had a friend, a colleague, just say to me, do you fancy some Fortnite later today? I'm like, I might do. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be the same type of game I'm used to. I liked Fortnite when it was just basic, when you dropped in. You've got to survive, end of. But now, by the looks of it, you can swim, I think. There's all these vehicles, and there's all these challenges. Like, where did the bare bones go? I like it when it was bare bones. Thank you very much. But still, it is what it is. So yeah, Fortnite, great online game. Not really for me, but the one that is definitely for me, 100%. I think I've never sunk in so many hours on an online game, and that's Battlefield 1. Now, the Battlefield series, to me, I played Battlefield 2, was it Hard Company? I think, no, it was Bad Company. Battlefield 2, Bad Company. That was my first proper introduction to online shooters. And obviously, from that, I moved to Call of Duty, you know, World at War, and you've got World War 2 as well, a few years ago, World War 2. That's still one of our favourites. Call of Duty is at its best when it does the old wars, not the new one. New one's debatable. But Battlefield 1, I mean, some of the experience I've had on that, I know that being online, that the gaming sessions, some of the levels can last like half an hour, 45 minutes, depending on what team you're on, what's happening, what's going on. But moving from one capture point to another, you know, it referenced that Star Wars Battlefront 2 back on the PlayStation 2. That sort of gameplay that I really enjoy. But just, I mean, just having the destructible environments in there, the absolute chaos. I think it's the only game that I've actually played on that actually captures that essence of total chaos. And you could run to one part of the map, and there's some sniping going on, some stealth. You know, the sniper's up on top, but our team's trying to rush in to disable a command post. You could go on the other side of the map, and there's tanks fighting. It's just insane. And then I really liked the additions of, I forgot what they're called now, actually. I think, obviously they were like basically you had a big tank, heavy armor tank, you had a Zeppelin coming. Basically those power-ups in-game, and then seeing a Zeppelin come in, especially when you're, I always enjoyed being on the other team when the other team had a Zeppelin, because it was the idea of taking that thing down and then actually watching it explode in midair and then crashing onto the battlefield and changing the dynamics of the battlefield. Like, oh, it's laid across this command post, but you can't get into this area now. You've got to come in from another direction. You know, even Battlefield 5 that they've brought out, it's nowhere near as good as Battlefield 1. I've ploughed in so many hours with Battlefield 1. And I think I like it so much as well. It was one of the first games I've played with my friends where I actually was able to get a group of friends together. Well, gone friends now, but friends that, you know, where we could actually sit down and play, and we spent 4 or 5 hours on an evening playing, and it was just the laughs we had. And that's, to me, that's what's gaming all about. There's not enough games nowadays that encompass that. But no, Battlefield 1, a great shout out, an absolute fantastic shout out there for Battlefield 1. I commend that. I'm really, really looking forward to seeing what the next Battlefield will be. I'm really hoping, because they haven't done one in a while, that Battlefield goes back to like World War 2. I mean, to have something like that on the PS5 would be insane. So let's keep our fingers crossed for that one. But that's basically the PS4. The PS4's been with me and been there. I've had many different varieties of it. I had the original PlayStation 4, and then I got the Star Wars Battlefront edition with Darth Vader on the cover. Then after that, just I think about 2 years ago, I got the PS4 Pro, just to enhance that gaming experience. And then obviously last year I had like a month's hiatus of gaming. Packed my PS4 away, had a month worth of not gaming. Just so I could basically finish it. And I mean, I did box PlayStation 4 off with Ghost of Tsushima. Rightly deserved as one of the Game of Year contenders. I can't remember if it won, actually, unless The Last of Us 2 beat it out. I'll actually have to have a look at that. But no, Ghost of Tsushima should have won. If it hasn't won, it should have won. A fantastic game to end that era of gaming for me. So that was the last game I played on PlayStation 4. I am still playing PlayStation 4 games on PS5, but obviously there's reasons for that, which I'll get into in a moment. But yeah, no, PlayStation 4, what an era for gaming, what an era for me to find myself in, grow, develop. And again, it's been one of those consoles that's been there for me when I'm upset. I can go there, that's where my friends are. If I'm angry, I can go on there. I can shoot some people on Battlefield. Or if I'm happy, I'm enjoying my gaming. Nah, PlayStation 4, big deal for me, definitely. So last, by no means least, there's really not much to say on the PlayStation 5 at the moment, just because of it's very early in its lifespan, and not enough people I've got one at the moment, and wrongly don't have one, just because of all the scalpers and everything that's happened with the release. I know Sony is saying it's one of their most successful releases, but I don't think they can count that just with what's gone on with scalping and everything. So I discredit that comment from them, to be honest. It's really not a fair comment to make. The PlayStation 5 itself, it's a great console. I mean, I don't know why people are complaining about how big it is or what it looks like. You always get the internet jokes, the internet memes over it. You really do with anything nowadays, but it's different. It looks futuristic, and that's what I want from a console. To me, the PlayStation 3 and the PS4, the PS3 was just the PS4 with curves, or vice versa. You know, well, the PS4 was a PS3 with edges. There wasn't that much of an upgrade for me. But the PS5, you can definitely see the upgrade here. We're definitely at the stage now of 4K gaming, and hopefully most people nowadays, I'm hoping you've got a 4K TV, because you are doing yourself a real distrust if you have a PlayStation 5 and don't have a 4K TV. Because playing some of these games, I didn't get many games for it, just because, well, the releases that they've had for the PlayStation 5 has been downright shocking, if I'm going to be totally honest. I mean, you've got Spider-Man Miles Morales, which is glorified DLC. I'm sorry, it is as good as it is, and I really enjoyed that. It is glorified DLC. You've got Demon's Souls. I've not really got into those types of games. I really want to, but I'm not paying, like, I think they were asking 70 quid for that when it first came out. I don't know if it's still that now. I have seen it for 50 quid somewhere, but £70 for a game, that's pushing it, especially for a remake of a, what is it, 5-10 year old game? I don't know. Don't really care, to be honest. But Demon's Souls, yeah, you know, it, 70 quid for a game is pushing it. I know Bugsnax was free on the PlayStation Plus. I think it was last month, or it still is now. I'm really like Bugsnax, really. I mean, yeah, really disappointing lineup. Really disappointing lineup. I mean, the only like game I've actually bought physically for it is Planet Coaster, which I know is an old game, but I mean, I'm loving that at the moment. I'm really liking my park simulators at the moment. But that really takes me into into what I'm playing now. I'm actually catching up on some old PS4 games that I didn't manage to get around to playing. So I've got games like Jurassic World Evolution. Absolutely loving that at the moment. Talk about authenticity for a franchise. Fantastic game. And another one that this recently just announced last week, and I think it's available now. Yeah, it is available. Yeah, we're on the 14th of January here. Is Shadow of the Tomb Raider. I've not actually played any Tomb Raiders since the original one on PlayStation 1. And I really liked the look of the new ones, but they were a bit too close for Uncharted for me. And again, I liked the Uncharted games, but half the time I was playing them just because, like, you know, they seemed fun to do. I mean, they're all right games. They're nothing amazing. But Shadow of the Tomb Raider, to me, looks really good. And the fact that that's now free on the PlayStation Store. If you've got PS Plus, I'm definitely going to pick that up. Now that I've literally just finished Maneater, actually. So I've platinumed that for the second time. Not a difficult platinum, really. You just collect everything, basically. It's really easy platinum. But I enjoyed that. I'm glad it was on the PlayStation Plus, because I definitely wouldn't have rebought it outright for 30, 35 quid. But looking to the future, I'm really, really looking forward to some big releases. For PlayStation 5, obviously you've got God of War 2. I know I haven't mentioned the original God of War, any of the God of Wars actually, but yeah, big mention out there. God of War 3, by the way, best one so far. God of War on PS4, almost there, but God of War 3, wow, what a game. I would have put the last God of War, the PS4 God of War up there as number one, but God of War was great and all, but a bit too repetitive with enemies. The world was fantastic, but really, I didn't feel like it was fleshed out enough, and I feel like they held a lot back for the second one. I'm hoping they give us more in the second one. They've set the second one up to be a massive deal, and I'm hoping we open with, you know, what was left with us, and that was, you know, Thor arriving at your doorstep, totally pissed off about what you've been doing. And I'm hoping the opening scene and fight is that fight with Thor. And I'm guessing we get our asses handed to us. That's what I'm guessing how it's gonna go, but we'll see what happens. And then obviously you've got Horizon. Again, Horizon Zero Dawn on the PS4. Really good game. I just didn't see I liked it. It was different. I don't see the big hoo-ha about it. It's just like, oh yeah, it's Horizon. Brilliant. Yay. Here, have a gold star. You know, great. Well done. A round of applause for you. But yeah, no, we've announced, obviously, Lucasfilm Games have just announced a whole batch of Star Wars games that they're looking to do. And there's now talks of an open world Star Wars game. We really need something like that now. I mean, hopefully that's sooner rather than later. But I mean, they've just pushed back Hogwarts Legacy. Again, that could really become something big, especially if you're living in the UK. To me, Harry Potter, you grew up with Harry Potter. So, but the big thing with PS5 that I always think about, literally outside the box. It's not just a gaming console for me. This is probably going to be the gaming console that I don't have kids yet. I mean, hopefully I'm going to be getting married next year. So we'll definitely be thinking about kids very, very soon after that. But it's going to be that console that my kids might grow up with, you know, for the first, you know, maybe towards the end when they're starting to actually play games. I mean, I'd love them to play games. I want to whoop their ass at FIFA and COD and everything. So I'm hoping they get into games. But this is going to be the console that's going to be with me when I'm starting a family. So a really big deal for me, because this is where I'm going to escape to. It's going to be that console I escape to when, you know, I've had a long day at work, long day with all this lockdown going on, and I can just chill, play with my friends. And it's nice to see my fiance getting in. My fiance is a big, big Animal Crossing lover. I mean, I think she's already ploughed in about 400 hours, I think, on Animal Crossing. That's insane. I mean, some of the games I played don't even come close to that. I think it's because I complete them so quick, to be honest. But for her to stick to that is amazing. And now she's moving on. There's a couple of games she likes to play on PlayStation as well. We've got Concrete Genie, which, again, apologies, I should have actually mentioned that. Concrete Genie, again, I think it's Pixel Point that made that game. Go give that game a look at, guys. Seriously. One of the best indie titles out there. I mean, that's discrediting it. It's a full game. It feels like a big studio's got a hand on that, and I really hope they do a sequel and expand that, because by goodness, it was just something to behold, especially at the end of the game when you can see the town lit up in all your artistic flair. But again, she's really enjoying that on PS5 as well. She's discovered that, and like I said, The Sims as well, an old classic there. But I used to play on the PC with my friends, and now it's come to consoles, and people can discuss and chop and change and say, oh, you know, Sims, Planet Coaster, Jurassic World, they're all better played on PC. Some people don't like playing on PC. I'm one of those people. I just don't like the idea of playing on PC. I know it's got, you've got all your graphics engines, your graphics cards and all that, but I really don't care about all that. I like having a console. It's all neatly packed away from me. I can turn it on and it's there, and that's what it's there for. So now, PlayStation 5, I've got high hopes for you. So let's hope you can prove me right, and, you know, let's see what happens. So we've gone through my history of games and what it's meant to me, my favourite games and whatnot. But now I'd really like to touch on, I think, the most important part of this episode, and that's it's the mental health and the benefits of gaming, and how gaming can help an individual like myself, or maybe someone like you that is suffering from mental health. Now, I don't like saying just the words mental health, because it's too much of a blanket to throw over. There are so many different ways people suffer mental health. I mean, you could have PTSD, like myself. You could suffer from, you know, anxiety, depression, and there's all those little subcategories that branch off from there, and they could be more serious than others. And with the world the way it is nowadays, people like having that escape route. People like having, you know, being able to do something they really enjoy, and I think it's one of the main reasons I've actually started this podcast. I'm quite a shy guy. I won't put myself out there. I'm too worried about, you know, what other people think of me, which I really shouldn't. And that's what I'm realizing now. And it's what I've really wanted to push myself out there to do. It's why I'm doing these podcasts. It's given me a chance to build my confidence. It's given me a chance to meet new people. It's given me a chance to, you know, talk to a different, you know, area of people where I, you know, I'm putting myself out there, and it's going well for me so far. And I know it's going to have its ups and downs, but as a starting point, the support I've got so far and the feedback I've got so far has been amazing, and I can't thank you enough for that. But what I'd really like to touch upon is the link between that gaming side of things and how our brains work, how our brains, we're constantly solving problems every day. It can be as minute as just turning the kettle on for a cup of tea, or it could be, you know, like me, I'm going out to pick my fiance up from work. It's still a task we have to complete. It's still a problem we have to solve. We might not class it as a problem, but that's what you could class it as. And gaming is all about problem solving. It allows our minds to reshape and help us figure out different ways of doing things. And it's amazing, actually, because you can actually incorporate that in your day-to-day life, especially with work as well. You know, problem solving at work, it's a very big deal with companies at the moment. And I you know, if you're able to problem solve well, I think you'll do well at your work, you know, in your chosen field. And gaming helps that. It does. I mean, you have all sorts of types of genre games where they really do cater for anyone and everybody. I don't believe someone when they say to me, "Oh, I don't like gaming," unless they've got a good reason, like a really good reason, like, "Oh, I don't game because this person used to game and it reminds me of them, and I don't like doing that." That's fine. But if people just come to me and say, "Oh, I don't like gaming," it's kind of like saying to me, "I don't like Christmas." Like, I love Christmas, and I can't understand why somebody wouldn't love Christmas. There's something there for everybody. You don't have to go all out. You can just do your own little slice of Christmas. And that's exactly what gaming is. There's so many genres, there's so many sub-genres, that there is something there for everybody. And if you're telling me you don't like any of that, again, it's like saying I don't like music. Everybody loves music. So it means you haven't tried. To me, it means you haven't gone in and actually looked at what there is to offer. Now, you need to talk to somebody who knows a hell of a lot more about gaming than I do. Maybe a gaming insider, or someone who does a bigger gaming podcast or bigger YouTuber. I don't know. Look at their videos. But, you know, you need to find out what genre you like to play. And you can go from there, because you might find, you might always say to yourself, nah, GTA, not playing that, it's too violent, not doing any of that. And you go on it and you're like, actually, I just like playing the bowling in it, or I just like doing this in it, and it does it really well, so that's what I'm going to play it for. That's what it's there for. You know, it's all these politicians, but, you know, some of them still say, oh yeah, you know, people who play GTA, the people that go out and murder 20 people. It's not the case. You know, it's, everyone plays games. You know, everyone can play games. And just because someone who's got, you know, not obviously the right mindset and has played a game, say they played Doom beforehand and then they've gone out and murdered somebody, Doom isn't the reason they've gone out and murdered somebody. But people use gaming as a catalyst and something to blame just because that's the easy option there. It's same with happiness. It can go two ways. If you're saying to me, you know, gaming can change, you know, a person's viewpoint and they're, oh yeah, Doom was the reason they went out and murdered someone. Well, shouldn't we be taking Disney films into prisons and showing all the prisoners Disney films? Shouldn't have the same, you know, connection there? Maybe a little bit convoluted there, but, you know, I am getting to a point where I'm trying to explain that there is not just a simple, clear-cut connection between the two. It is a grey area. So you can't use gaming as a catalyst to get out of something, but you also can't use it as like, oh yeah, they did that, you know, that's why they're so good at it. It works both ways. And with anything, it's the portion size, really, if you want to put it down to, like, similar to eating, it's how much you intake of it and how much you let it get to you. You get some people that game for, oh gosh, hours upon hours and upon hours, which it's not healthy for you. You need to have regular breaks away from a screen. Our minds, if you think about how much we are looking at screens nowadays, you know, I've got my phone, I've got my laptop, I've got my TV, and then it could be something little stupid, you know, stupid as, you know, I've got there's a timer on the microwave. That's still a screen. You know, we are surrounded by digital. The digital endeavor and everything is digital nowadays. So having that break away from it and being allowed, like, there is still a whole wide world out there. Don't block yourself out from it. But again, going back to the mental health side of things, it's, gaming can be an escape route to anybody, and I think it does help. I really do, especially when you've got the right people there. There are a lot of toxic people with gaming. Certain video games, you know, have a really toxic community. It's why one of the reasons I'm not playing Rocket League enough or a lot, just because I found the community incredibly toxic. And just like, at the end of the day, it's a game. Certain people might say to me, yeah, but it's not just a game. Yeah, but to the average person, to your average audience, I'd say 80% of your audience is average gamers. People that have got a job, people that have got a family, people that are trying to make ends meet, and they just want to be able to sit down and have fun and not have a kid from, well, anywhere really. You know, I have a kid from Brazil saying, you know, they've had your mum, or they're saying you shit at this, or why weren't you defending, or this, that, or the other. Like, oh, just like, I mean, that could be down to bad parenting, but, you know, that, let's... I won't touch that with a 10-foot pole, but, you know, it is what it is, but you've just got to try and block it out. But sometimes it gets to a point where you're like, nah, if the developers aren't doing enough about it, you know, to me, they're not caring about their audience. Some of these games now with a pay-to-play system, you've got games like Rocket League isn't too bad, but Fortnite, from what I've seen, not play to win, obviously, but certainly a vast amount of money being plugged into it. I mean, I'm currently playing FIFA 21 on PS5, and I'm touching Ultimate Team for the first time in like three or four years. And I can't, don't get me wrong, I won't blow my own trumpet too much here. I used to be really good at FIFA. I am quite still good at FIFA, but when you're going to put against these guys, I've got these teams where they've spent their own money. And to me, that is pay to win. It really is, because you're paying to be better at somebody else at that game because you've got better players. But the person who's got not so good players but is technically still better than you. It doesn't make sense. Same with Star Wars Battlefront 2 when it came out, you know, when it obviously big controversy throughout the whole industry of gaming when that game came out, and it was a pay-to-play or pay-to-win, sorry. Pay-to-win system, and people just dropped off. Thankfully, they've picked that game up. I mean, you pick that game up now, it's phenomenal. It really is. I mean, talk about encapsulating Star Wars and being in the world of Star Wars. That game does it better than no other, and hopefully with all the new games they're going to announce over the next few years, I think Lucas Games have really got a good... have started off well. Well, there again, mentioning that Star Wars open world RPG, if that's what it's going to be. Whoa, definitely looking forward to that. But yeah, no, I really... it was one of the main reasons... it wasn't the main reasons, you know, for... it was just to get to this point in the podcast where I just wanted to sit down and really, you know, put my views out there on mental health and gaming. It's a big part of why I'm doing this podcast. It's a big part of why I do things and why I am who I am. You know, a lot of people don't see that. A lot of people think, you know, I could be just quiet and it can come across as rude, but I'm not being rude. I'm just a quiet guy sometimes. But I mean, you get me talking about something passionate. You know, get me talking about games, get me talking about films, get me talking about Jaws especially. I mean, you won't shut me up. But I'll talk till the cows come home. I really will. And when it's something I'm passionate about, same with work, certain things at work, you know, if I'm passionate about it, I'll voice my opinion, whether that be wrong or right, right or wrong. You know, if I'm passionate about it, I love what I do. So I'm gonna let people know I love what I do, because that it's not my fault you don't love what you do. If you don't love what you do, that's your problem. That's not my problem. You know, you need to get it sorted. So it's a big thing of taking on board your own thoughts, your own feelings. It's a lot harder to do than for me to say. Believe me, I know. I've done years of it. But now I'm starting to come out my shell a bit more. I'm starting to talk to you guys. I'm hopefully going to try and... I'm going to start building an audience. I want to get this discussion a bit more out there. And I want to try build a network, and I want that network built around people that know me for who I am and who I actually am and who I really am, not like, oh yeah, he's that guy who does this, but he never talks outside. Like, well, yeah, but there's a reason he might not talk. There's a reason he might not be that introverted, you know. So I just thought it was really important to get this on there, and it was one of the main reasons I wanted to talk to you guys about it. But no, really, really, thank you very much for listening, guys. I mean, you've been with me now. This is now, I know it's episode 3. We're very, very early days now of this podcast. I'm still going to do a bit of tweaks here and there. I've still not found my flow. I've still not found my structure. All this is new to me, but please bear with me. And please just, you know, I've never done anything like this before, so we'll get better over time. It might take me a bit longer than others. It might, you don't know. You might listen to me one day and I might sound different because I've got a better mic. You know, I've got a better setup, because at the moment it's just me and a phone. That's really all it is, you know, and using the apps that I'm using, there's not really much to it other than what I want to try and get inputted on that. But no, thanks for listening. This has been episode 3. Episode 4, hopefully we should be out similar time next week. I'm not going to disclose what I'm going to talk about in that episode, just because I actually haven't decided what I'm going to talk about in that episode or what I want to talk about. But what I do want to say is we are looking to get in some special guests on. I've got two people in mind, actually. One who is a very, very old friend. And he's an absolute delight to talk to, and it'd be real nice to get him on, because I think it'll make you laugh. Let's put it that way. But yeah, no, I'd really like to get that guy on. But yeah, thanks for listening, guys. Stay safe with everything, you know, and hit me up on my socials. My socials are in the bio section of my podcast. So if you have any feedback, if you have any questions or anything, obviously pop it in there. I'll see what I can do. Obviously all this is new to me, but yeah, thanks very much, guys. Take care and have a great day.